Alan Kohler here, and the CEO today is Michael Cottier, who is the chairman, actually, of BAF, Blue Sky Alternative Access Fund, which is the LIC that was started and created by Blue Sky Alternative Investments, which went broke. But BAF, as it is, the BAF ASX continues, and they've been for a while now in the process of transferring the management contract for the fund from Blue Sky in receivership to Wilson Asset Management. And they're now in the final stages of doing that. So I thought it'd be a good idea now to just talk to Michael about where that's at. Obviously, the problem for BAF investors, which includes yours truly, so I have a conflict of interest to some extent in this, or I have an interest in it as an investor in BAF myself. Obviously, we've got a lot of attention focused on whether the discount that currently exists to NTA in BAF of about 20% or a bit more will close, because the discount exists because of the receivership of Blue Sky. And if Wilson's running it, maybe it'll go back to being equal to NTA or possibly even a premium, which is what WAM Capital, the main Wilson LIC, is trading at. It's trading at a premium of 22%. So, goodness me, maybe there's a bit of upside there in BAF. There's a number of questions, obviously, to be asked about the that process, where it's at, but also the assets of BAF. What do they own? Who runs those assets? And what sort of freedom will Wilson have? Because previously it was a two-way exclusivity arrangement between BAF and Blue Sky, BLA, in that all the assets had to be run by BLA, but in fact, in the future, that isn't the case. So there's a lot to unpick with Michael. So here you go. Here's Michael Cottier, the chairman of Blue Sky Alternative Access Fund, BAF.ASX. So we put out a market update in November, nothing since, but the update in November said that you had made a significant breakthrough. I think that was what you called it. A significant breakthrough for BAF shareholders. Now, I take it, or I presume that was the impending transfer of the contract to run the fund to Wilson Asset Management. Is that right?
That's right. So in the lead up to the that was all happening right at the eve of the AGM. And we did... So we've been negotiating, I think you know this back story pretty well. We've been negotiating with first Blue Sky and in recent times Quarter Mentor and Oak Tree to try and affect this transfer of the management rights to Wilson Asset Management. That announcement and the breakthrough was really that we'd got to a heads of agreement kind of level of terms. And that was the basis for that announcement, and that was on the day, the morning of the AGM. Since then, we've run up to the Christmas break, but we've had significant activity kind of translating that into legal documents. They're still not there, and we've still got some negotiating to do, and we're certainly have resumed that to a small extent, and this week we'll see things pick up more significantly. So that's where things are at.
And is the contract between you and Wilson, is that what we're talking about? I mean, because I presume that there's a complication in the transferral. So I presume what we're having is a transfer of management rights from BSAAF, which is a subsidiary of Blue Sky Alternative Investments, to Wilson. And then also there's a contract between BAF and Wilson, which is the actual management contract. Is that right? Or not?
That's basically right. We have at the moment what we often describe as a double exclusive arrangement with Blue Sky. There's only one manager, which is BSAF, as you said rightly, and all of the investments have been managed by Blue Sky teams. So we actually have to effect a termination of that agreement, and we have to basically enter into arrangements given the receivership, which involve us dealing with both Quarter Mentor and Oak Tree. And then you're right, the go forward management agreement will be between BAF, the LIC, and Wilson Asset Management, or whichever of Jeff's entities end up being on that final document.
I'm very surprised that the receivership and change of control did not represent a termination event for the management contract.
No, it did not. And that was largely because of the the receivership was of BLA, the headstock, and the way the documentation was put together, that did not automatically lead to a change at the subsidiary level. So BSAF, the manager of BAF, is a subsidiary of BLA. So the receivership was, if you like, quarantined at the BLA level, which just again made things more difficult for us.
That's a I would call that a flaw in the contract documentation, and I'd kick some lawyer's bum for that.
Well, in hindsight, that's a good observation. And the original documents were put together back in 2014, which was before my time. But I'm not trying to sort of squib away from your observation. I think that's right. It is a very tight and very hard to break arrangement, and given the woes that have taken place with Blue Sky, it's just made it that more difficult for my board, on behalf of our shareholders, to reposition this thing.
Are the receivers demanding cash for the transfer?
It is certainly part of the commercial negotiations that there is a cash amount that was originally described as to reimburse expenses. That is one of the things that's still being fine-tuned in the discussions, both the amount that's going to be paid and the terms around that amount. So again, as I mentioned, Alan, one of the things that will sort of get reactivated this week will be picking up on those discussions, and that's a particular focus for Jeff at WAM, and to discuss that with both Quartermentha and Oak Tree.
I mean, this is a minor matter, but is the plan that the LIC, the LIC's name will be changed when it comes under Wilson's control?
We will be taking the opportunity to remove the Blue Sky brand, Alan. So it will be called something like WAM Alternative Assets. That's the current working title, and we'll have to get an ASX ticker organised as well.
And what's the, I mean, I can look this up, of course, but what's the standard discount to NTA of the WAM LICs?
Well, I think they vary. I haven't got that information to make an accurate comment about it, but I think there's plenty of press about the WAM LICs, and I think some have traded at a discount and some at a premium. I think the important thing to note is this is a new sector for Jeff's group, and we've gone public with the fact that he has recruited Adrian Sue as a portfolio manager with extensive private equity and private asset experience. And Adrian will be, along with Jeff and the investment committee, will be playing a key role in taking over the new portfolio.
Well, I can tell you the WAM Capital LIC trades at a premium of 22% at the moment, and that's about the opposite of BAF, which is at a discount of about 22%, isn't it?
It is, and we're not happy about that continuing discount. We did put out an announcement just before the one you referred to about the breakthrough, which tried to address that discount to NTA and the components and the drivers. And I think from memory, Alan, we were trading at a discount of between 20 and upwards of into the 30s discount to NTA during the second half of last calendar year. That's improved slightly. May have had something to do with our ASX release or whatever the other wisdom of the shareholders might be, but it's traded closer to a 20% or low 20s discount to NTA, which is still not great. And it's also hard for us to, you know, when you look at the portfolio and the efforts that the board and management have been through to make the valuation process as robust as possible, with valuer rotations and valuation updates. But we still have that discount. So I think there will be people wiser than me who can put it, an interpretation on that, but I'm sure part of it, no doubt, is the ongoing uncertainty about the future of the management of the company.
But I also imagine part of it is to do with the what you described as the double exclusivity, which is that the Blue Sky has the exclusive rights to manage your assets. Now, so the question, I guess, is once the management contract transfers to Wilson, will Jeff Wilson's team have more freedom than that, will that exclusivity continue?
It won't continue. So the first part of that, answering that question, is there will be a transition period, and because of the nature of the runoff of the existing portfolio, this is not like a listed equity portfolio where you can sort of reset it in 24 hours to maximise value. For example, the growth capital, venture capital, agricultural assets, they all have business cases which involve longer holding periods, and we're certainly not interested in fire sales that don't maximise outcomes for investors and our shareholders in particular. So there will be a runoff approach to the existing portfolio, but looking forward with WAM taking over the portfolio, it will be not an exclusive manager approach. It'll be a best of breed manager of managers approach. So we are looking to build manager diversification into the new model, and also to broaden the nature of the portfolio. So, for example, again, I think we've put this in our presentations, the nature of the type of alternative assets that BAF invests in, we would intend to broaden that to include things like private debt and infrastructure compared to the, I guess, the narrower nature of the Blue Sky managed portfolio.
But I get what you're saying about some of those assets that you've got. They're not liquid. You can't, you can't switch out of them quickly. But there is 25% of the portfolio in cash at the moment. So there is some work for Jeff Wilson's team to do in investing that cash, I guess.
Absolutely. And again, that we're looking forward to getting this all resolved so that that cash can be deployed, because we clearly have more cash. We have a cash drag effect on the portfolio at the moment. So again, we have put a stop on deployment of capital into Blue Sky, but we are very open to and welcome getting that cash working under WAM's management.
There's 25% roughly in the what's called the Argyle Water Fund, which used to be the Blue Sky Water Fund. There's another 11% or 12% in something called the Strategic Agricultural Fund, 20% in growth capital, 6.5% venture capital. Now, these are all Blue Sky funds. Can you just tell us what's going on there? Because there was Kim Morrison, who was the CEO, the interim CEO at Blue Sky, did a management buyout. He called his new firm Argyle Capital, but Oak Tree's involved, which is this global fund that's now 62% owned by Brookfield, I think. So who runs those funds now? I mean, whose funds are they? Is it Kim Morrison or Oak Tree or what?
I think it's a bit of both. So again, you should talk to people like Kim directly to get the full rundown on that. But certainly what's happened, Alan, and this has also made our process more complicated or more fragmented, because we've sort of had teams splitting off into these new teams. So you've correctly identified Argyle as the new real assets team, which is still run by Kim Morrison. But that has also happened in a parallel process with the growth capital team. So that is now called Fortitude Investment Partners, and the venture capital team is now called January Capital. So they are all, as I understand it, management buyouts with majority management ownership, and also Oak Tree taking minority positions in those entities. So who's running them? Just from memory, Ben Dunphy is now heading up January Capital. All these gentlemen are ex-Blue Sky. Nick Dignam is heading up Fortitude, which is the growth capital vehicle, and Kim Morrison, as you said, Argyle. So I'll just pause there.
And each of them is backed by Oak Tree.
That's my understanding, yes. Yeah, right. I think the January and Fortitude structure is similar to the Argyle one.
So all of those funds have been pulled out of the entity that's in receivership. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I think, again, the full legal implications of that, there's probably still, as far as trustee and responsible entity vehicles, I think there's probably a transition phase that's still occurring, but the statement you made, Alan, is right. They have pulled those out of BLA, and they're now sitting under the Oak Tree business.
Right. So, and obviously, you know, all this is relevant because, these funds represent your NTA, which is at November 30th was $1.12. Roughly, or $1.13. So the question, I suppose, is how did you arrive at that? I mean, what's the process for determining that that NTA?
Well, we still we still have a management company, BSAF, which is the manager of BAF. We are still having all of the same processes around our monthly board meetings. The valuation policies and methodologies are as previously announced. So we still go through that process, and in fact, we will be announcing the December in December NTA. I'm expecting that will be tomorrow morning. So. That's kind of business as usual. The thing I would like to highlight, though, is that given all the concerns about the discount to NTA, the board has been very focused on making sure our valuation processes are as robust as possible. And again, I'll just point you to our recent ASX announcements where we've talked about those valuations and the valuation processes. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
We can all go and read those things, but maybe you could just take us through how deep into each of the funds do you go to determine the value of your investment in the funds? Do you value or are you kind of on top of the valuation of each of the assets within each of the funds?
Yes, we are. So again, we have independent valuations or valuation reviews that are used as input to the board in basically arriving at our NTA. We obviously rely on information and determinations by the manager, or as we were discussing with these fragmentations under Oaktree, the relevant managers. We still have reports coming into the board from those managers. We have the same investor information that's available to other underlying investors in the funds. So we certainly use that information. But a key to the process is the at least annual valuation process, independent valuation review process that is carried out. And we have had full coverage of the portfolio across the last 12 months of every fund. And, you know, that has resulted in some fairly significant adjustments to carrying values. So, I think there is a robust process. I realise this is, given the nature of the assets, is a key issue for investors and for their confidence in the portfolio. But I just want to assure you that the board takes their responsibilities very seriously around the valuations. And the other piece, which is less frequent, is we have the annual audit and the half-year review, which is still carried out by Ernst & Young.
Now, obviously, you know, the manager, I guess, the manager makes the decisions about what to invest in, although, you know, who knows how the process actually worked within when it was running as Blue Sky. But clearly, a quarter of your money, the largest investment, is in water. Can I ask you, what do you think of water as an investment? Do you think it's a good investment?
It's an investment that's performed very well. I think, again, there's a lot of interest in water funds and water investments. Questions about will there be regulatory changes to water rights and how they are handled. And Alan, I'm not a subject matter expert in water investments, but I think the outlook, as I see it, for the Argyle Water Fund remains positive. And I think whether there's going to be regulatory changes, I think I'm probably just reciting some material that Kim Morrison has provided, but I think there is confidence that there won't be massive regulatory changes to the way the Murray-Darling and other relevant water markets are regulated. But we'll have to wait and see on that.
Can you tell us what sort of return the water fund has provided to BAF over the years?
I don't have that in front of me, Alan. I'd be happy to send you a quick note.
Your sense is it's been a good investment?
It's been one of the best in the portfolio, without question.
Right. Okay. And you've got no reason for thinking that it's going to be it's not going to be any good in the future, and that Wilson will sort of pull money, a whole heap of money out of it. I suppose it's potentially a portfolio balance issue, but still, you don't think Wilson's going to hate water?
No, quite the contrary. And I think when you look through the Strategic Agricultural Fund, the aggregated interest in the water fund in the BAF portfolio is about 30%.
Right.
And it is a cornerstone investment of the fund. Like any sort of outlook statement about an investment, can't be guaranteed, and it may, you know, the quite stellar performance that the water fund's produced to date may moderate to some extent, but we're certainly not expecting any great negative kind of movement with the water fund.
Just one final big picture question, Michael. Do you think that when all this is finished, history will show that the only losers in the collapse of Blue Sky were the investors in BLA, the head company?
That's a big call, because clearly BAF investors have suffered sort of indirectly as a result of what's happened to BLA. We've just been talking about the discount to NTA. And there's certainly been shareholders who've, for example, who've exited at a discount to NTA. I'm certainly conscious that they have not had as good an outcome as as might have otherwise been. But I know where you're going with the question. I think if you sort of look ahead, and if our investors who've been patient and loyal and stayed with us, and we move into a WAM managed world, again, one of the great attractions of Wilson Asset Management to the BAF board is their retail LIC capability. You referenced their one of their LICs trading at a premium. If we can grow the fund, and certainly Jeff made a statement at our AGM where he couldn't see why the BAF fund couldn't be grown to a $1 billion fund. So I'd certainly love to see that happen. And if we're in that world and we've addressed the discount to NTA in that new world, then your statement within your question is going to be more correct, that BLA shareholders have probably been the main unfortunate victims of what happened to Blue Sky.
Thanks very much, Michael.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the opportunity.
That was Michael Cottier, the chairman of Blue Sky Alternative Access Fund.